Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Junkies here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Elves, joined in the dugout by my pal Brian Svensson.
Yo!
And we are hoping that Chris Zuk will join us on the bullpen phone. But
Calling him out.
I'm still wondering if it just hasn't been repaired from when he smashed it.
He's still hiding. The Nationals are up 2-0 in the World Series.
Pew, 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 pew.
Pew, pew, pew. Zuk is hiding. Calling him out. Zuk, so, get in here.
At the very least, call in and make a pledge. It is Pledgerama 2019. Zuk, you can call 204-474-6610 to make a pledge if you don't want to call the booth and talk to us about baseball.
Brutal.
But we're going to talk about it. Man. So much has happened since our last show last Friday.
Yes.
It's astonishing.
Some of it disturbing.
Some of it terrible. And in fact, I was thinking, like, we have, you know, pouring one out, we've done that. It's in our lexicon. We tip our cap.
Correct.
What we don't have, I guess maybe taking a bat to the Gatorade. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, what I would do. I mean, there's definitely, like, the ones that make me, like, raise my eyebrows, right? Like, you would pan across the dugout and see, like,
have, you know, no idea.
Someone, like,
some
going, I don't know how to respond to this. But we've had a few things. I mean, one that I was all set to be, like, coming in hot about, that I'm going to temper a little bit, because I just saw Jeff Passan's tweet this morning with the apology from umpire Rob Drake.
No, hold on.
Let me finish it. Okay. It in no way excuses what he wrote in his initial tweet that he's apologizing for, but he did apologize at a better than and at a quicker rate than a certain ball club.
That is, having read both the tweet and the apology, that is just a man trying to cover his own butt and save his job. That's not a man that's actually sorry. What kind of person that sends out a tweet threatening to buy a gun and harm your other fellow Americans, misspelling civil, by the way, because you are so infatuated with a crazy moronic orange tinted
doofus
of a president?
No.
Who is a criminal.
Like I said.
A criminal, by the way.
This would have been the, like, taking the bat to the Gatorade, and it became more of the, like, raised eyebrows in the dugout
kind
of
thing.
He's
not sorry. I don't think he's sorry.
Well, I mean, then if you're questioning this apology, you have to question all apologies.
I think you kind of have to at least be a little bit cynical about most of them.
So it's people have to own what they did. There's no apology that's ever going to.
No, I think you can come back from it, but I think you do have to own it. I think you have to own it. If you say that you're willing to go out and buy an AR-15 to go kill other Americans because you like the president that much, that's That's not just over the line. That is very over the line. That is, he probably should have lost his job over the line.
Yeah, I mean, the one of the best initial tweets that I saw about this was the fact that, like, you know, chances are the robot umps won't have Twitter accounts.
Yeah.
So the upside. Yes, I also keyed in on the fact that despite it being a like one of the biggest things in American history that every student is taught about, and also the like colon subtitle of a recent Captain America movie, and yet he couldn't spell civil.
Yep.
Said a lot about the mind state and capacity of this kind of person.
Yep.
That they are threatening civil war over a very obviously impeachable offense, or actually series of offenses by the current president.
More than one.
You know,
I don't think either apology issued this week is acceptable, but the Astros far less so.
This resorting to violence, you know,
that's a step. That's a step.
That is, I mean, this is like First Amendment rights. He can say this. However, when it goes into physical, like the threat of physical violence, that becomes a criminal act.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
If you threaten to buy an AK-47 and shoot people up in a purported civil war,
that's too far.
The Twitter should be handing these tweets over to the police.
I agree.
And I suppose maybe because online, it might be to the FBI. I'm not sure how, like, the who polices the internet. But
yeah, that's a good question.
That's it. Let's leave Rob Drake in the past, because he's clearly living in it. And let's talk a little bit about Brandon Taubman and the Astros and the gong show. And I will say gong show because I can't say the SH word. We're on midday
snake
radio
show
here. The short show. I think, is that because they say fork and shorts on The Good Place?
Yeah,
so they can get away with it.
That's correct.
So coming out of the ALCS, this was, I think, it was in the locker room after the clinching game. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, that's correct.
So assistant GM Brandon Taubman of the Astros, Sports Illustrated initially reported this story.
Well,
that in front of like several female reporters in the locker room, he kept shouting, "I'm so glad we got Roberto Osuna. I'm so glad we got Roberto Osuna," who, it should be pointed out, nearly cost them that game. Coughed up the tying runs.
Yep.
And it was only... And here I'm going to get back into the karma gods. Aroldis Chapman gave up the game winner to Jose Altuve. If you believe in the karma gods in baseball,
which we do,
this couldn't have been scripted better, because two total douchebags blew it in the biggest moments for their team.
Yeah.
And neither of them gets any glory.
Nope. It's short king Jose Altuve.
The little god himself who made it happen.
Shea Serrano had a really funny tweet after the home run where he's like, every single 5'8 guy is changing their Twitter, their Tinder bio back to 5'6.
I did appreciate someone who had photoshopped the photo of Aaron Judge and Jose Altuve side by side and swap sizes.
The two of them. Yeah.
Fantastic work for whomever did that. I've seen a lot of stuff online, and I'm sorry if I don't credit it all over the course of this show. I will try where possible. Now, yeah, that honestly, like, if because the reality is both of these two D-bags play for these teams,
mm-hmm.
and like
Astros,
you can't watch
for
it without experiencing these two come on the field.
Yeah.
And at least neither of them succeeded. But then in the post game, this assistant GM Brandon Taubman kept shouting this unnecessarily, like unprovoked. There were several female reporters who kind of commented on it. The Sports Illustrated article made note of it. And then the Astros tried to be like, nah, it didn't happen. And several other reporters who were in the vicinity were like, oh, yeah, it did. and then they had to backpedal. They have now dismissed Taubman. I did really appreciate, man, I'm killing myself because there's like so much baseball Twitter happening right now.
So much.
Someone who tweeted that, you know, you would think the Astros, with the amount of time they took to deal with this, they'd be better with spin rate. And that was a good like inside baseball commentary on this. But like, if you want to talk karma,
there's a lot of bad
karma. There is a lot of bad karma on the Astros side of the ball.
Yes, there is.
And all the stuff we've been talking about with the Natties is looking pretty hot. And the way that they like absolutely dominated game two.
Well, okay.
They did.
It was tight for like seven innings, and then all of a sudden they just hung like 10.
Well, this is the thing. As soon as they got the opportunity,
yeah,
they put their foot on their neck.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it was a tight game. You had two really good pitchers in the game, but Verlander got pulled, and then Presley gave up the runs that are attributed to Verlander. Verlander's World Series record, his ERA is like 5.74 at this point.
Yeah.
Rough thing for him, rough for Presley. And then I think it was the eighth inning. As I saw online, you know, this is how bad it was getting for the Astros. They had three strikeouts and the inning was still going. Because, of course, with a passed ball on Juan Soto, he managed to get on base. Reliever,
I love Juan Soto.
Gets
so
two more strikeouts.
Happy birthday, by the way, Juan.
Yes, he turns 21 today. Amazing. 21. Jeez Louise.
21 and maybe one of the five best players in baseball.
Absolutely. I'm all for the Natties. No wonder Zouk is not calling because I think he knew that we would be.
As we should.
I mean, I was already on board with the Ewing theory that I talked about, with the 25th anniversary of the 94.
His hair's still great, though.
I know you love that hair. You sent me a gif of that hair.
He's so beautiful.
The good karma of Daniel Hudson taking time off to be there for his family.
Yeah.
Having Sean Doolittle back him up.
Yep.
You got Howie Kendrick and Asdrubal Cabrera doing old guy, still in the game things.
Oh, yeah.
And we are now looking at the first World Series game played in Washington in 83 years. And they are up 2-0.
They're going to win.
It really looks like they might sweep.
They're going to... sweep is strong. I think the Astros are still... like, the Astros are still, like, an incredible team. And so I don't think we can totally count them out yet. You know, they're down two, but their back's up against the wall. I think
the baseball gods are going to give us the like full Cinderella,
man. If they sweep,
that you go from like the record they had in May.
If they sweep, my goodness,
to sweeping the NLDS in the World Series.
My goodness, I hope it happens.
It's exciting stuff.
Also, if it happens, exciting Zouk, stuff you is
the
get
fact
in here.
That we beat our goal for the pledge drive.
We're so happy. And
we're
so
already
thankful.
Past it, but we're still going.
Of course, we are.
It runs till 8 tonight.
Yep.
Phone lines are open, 204-474-6610. You've got a show coming up at 1 p.m.,
I do.
The Pity Party. You're going to be giving out your great incentives. You got the Sad Bastard mix for all of us for the new year.
Yeah, maybe this will help. It's a mix CD with 15 of my favorite songs that I've been listening to this year. So you should, even if you donate a single dollar, which is super appreciated, you get one of those CDs.
Is American football on there?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not this year.
Okay.
We got a new Jimmy Eat World track. We got a new Get Up Kids track. We've got Frito Disco. We've got the Lake Poets. We've got local bands screaming at traffic.
There you go.
And best band in Canada right now, Pop.
Pop. I missed that show, but I have heard many a good thing about it.
It was very good.
You can also donate online, umfm.com/donate, if you don't want to talk on the phone, and I get that. I don't always want to talk on the phone either. But,
well, if you do.
We make it really easy.
If you do right after
online,
the show.
You can assign the shows that you want. So if you do want to assign your pledge to the Pity Party so you can get your hands on the mix, you can do that via the website. Or when you call in and talk to one of the smooth operators, tell them. Want to pledge to the Pity Party. They got great incentives. All sorts of shows got great incentives, but the station itself has amazing incentives.
Yes.
At the $25 level, you got the pins, the magnet, the guitar picks, and the stickers.
Yep.
At the $50 level, we have an incredible travel mug.
Apparently, it's so hot that Jared put boiling water in there and then left it for like 6 hours.
Came back and burned himself.
And burnt himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's how good that travel mug is.
Yeah.
At $101.50, not only do you get that travel mug,
you get some coffee to put in.
You get some coffee. The amazing Interstellar Coffee Company has given us a UMFM special brew called The Message. And I'm not a huge coffee guy, but I tasted it, and it's good. It's actually good. So it's definitely worth grabbing for that.
Yeah, it is good. I've been brewing it every morning because I've been up very late, and
yes.
So this is what's keeping me going here. We have got a fantastic toque that I am currently wearing.
Yes,
because it's gotten chilly enough in the morning when I come in to continue wearing it, and then my hair is just a mess, and so I just leave it on.
But that's fine.
We've got a great T-shirt with a fantastic design by local artist Alex Plant, who does great work, and you can see all of this on our social media, at UMFM1015 on Instagram and Facebook, and at UMFM on Twitter.
Yep.
We've been posting photos of all sorts of stuff.
A really great hoodie this year as well.
Yes, yes, nice zip-up hoodie. Big fan of the zip-up hoodie. I realized this last night because I do take a quick break, go home, have supper, and hang out with my kids, and then come back here, and the kids wanted to play football at the park after supper. And we were running around, and I had my previous UMFM hoodie that's a zip-up and was able to, like, unzip it and vent because I was just getting too hot.
Yeah, though,
running around the field.
The zip-ups are a lost clothing piece. Not many places make them anymore.
I appreciate it greatly, and I think you will if you get your hands on one of those as well. And there are some fantastic draws. At the $75 level, it's the Half Pint Daily Draw.
Beer.
And it's Schwag from our friends at Half Pints Brewing, who just put out a Brut Saison that has a fantastic... bit of artwork on the can by past pledge drive designer Tiff Bartel.
Oh.
So shout out to Tiff for the great work that they did with the Half Pints can and also with the station in the past. There is a grand prize at the $75 level that's a private brewery tour for you and up to 20
Ooh.
Friends, at the end of which you get a gift certificate good for a keg. That is a fun time. At the $101.50 level, this is something we haven't had in the past, is a draw at this level, but we partnered with our friends at Real Love to bring you a few draws for tickets to the Real Love Summerfest next July in Toulon. And then we also have a grand prize that's not only Real Love ones, but Rainbow Trout Festival tickets with camping as well.
Cool.
Way more than $101.50 worth of value in that.
Plus, you get all the incentives on top of that as well.
Plus all the incentives on top of that. Well, or you can take a tax receipt. And if you take a tax receipt, you're still entered in all the draws.
Oh, I did not know that. That's
yes.
cool.
Yeah, because the CRA rules are around the like physical merchandise that you're giving away. So you can take the merchandise or you can take the tax receipt. But the draw, that's like...
still entered in the draw.
Bonus. It's the same way that if you pledge to a specific show, like the Pity Party...
you still get all the incentives.
If you want to get the tax receipt, you'll still
draw.
Get Brian's incentive and
yes,
the draw.
Yes, correct. Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So give us a call, 204-474-6610. I was just pulling up an article that MLB.com put up this morning about the odds now that it is 0-2 that the Astros have dug themselves a hole.
Got to be massive.
So their odds of winning the World Series at this point are nearly equal to the Nationals' odds of winning in 4 or 5.
That's bad. I wouldn't put money on that. Wouldn't it be smarter to just put on the Natties to win 4? Like, that's bad odds. Those are bad odds.
So, 75% chance that the Nationals win. Obviously, 25% chance that the Astros win. Astros winning in 6, 7.8. Astros winning in 7, 17.9. Nationals in 4, 23. Nationals in 5, 24.
Huh.
Then the odds decrease as they go down to games 6 and 7, supposing that the Nationals somehow lose a bunch at home, which I am excited for tonight's game because I think the atmosphere is going to be pretty electric.
Well, the format's 2-3-2, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. This series is over. It's done.
So I guess we pour one out for Zouk and his sad Montreal existence.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we pour one out for Zouk. The series is over. Are you seriously telling me that Juan Soto isn't going to go off in one of three games? One of those games is going to have Steven Strasburg pitching, and one of those games is going to have Max Scherzer pitching. So now what?
You know, the one upside for tonight, you've got Zach Greinke, who is the best hitter amongst the pitchers on the Astros lineup, and they are, of course, moving to the NL side of things, so there's no DH. But he's playing against Anibal Sanchez, who has looked pretty good in the postseason.
Very good.
Obviously started that NLDS series off with a 7 2/3 no-hitter. Kurt Suzuki. I had forgotten that Kurt Suzuki was the catcher on the Natties, and he came in and basically was the hero.
He's a former battery mate of Phil Hughes on the Minnesota Twins.
And former battery mate of Brandon McCarthy. I had forgotten about this, but I follow a couple of A's beat reporters, and one of them posted the one of the best promotional videos of all time, which is Brandon McCarthy and Kurt Suzuki sharing everything. So they're sharing earbuds, sitting in the hot and cold tubs together, about being in sync, right? And it's a pretty great video. I think I actually retweeted it on at the Bench Jockey's Twitter account.
He was one of the best prospects of 2004. It's crazy to think that he's still around.
People kind of, I think, don't necessarily think of him as a great catcher, but he hit a home run.
Yeah.
He made an incredible pickoff.
Yes.
You know, nice caught stealing, had a just nice cannon of an arm throw, and got on base a couple times. Scored a couple runs, and it was just an all-around, like, efficient player. And I was like, oh, man, I have to add him to my Howie Kendrick and his Drubal Cabrera, like, veteran good guy
list. He's been around for forever.
And it's exciting to think that's the kind of guy who might get a ring.
I think he made three in a row baseball prospectus top 100s in the mid-2000s for prospect-wise, right? I think he was on 03, 04, 05.
He was a pretty well-regarded catcher, right? And I mean,
and then he just kind of disappeared for a while.
I have to imagine, and I mean, this may be like the benefit of hindsight, but being in Oakland for a while on like an all-right Oakland team, like there was never this, you know, it was like the, not necessarily the wilderness years, but like, not as exciting as it has been to be invested in the A's in the last couple of years when you got like a...
You're probably right. I'm just trying to think about like, was he ever like incredible though? Like what did he ever live up to that hype other than what he's doing right now? I'm just trying to think off the top of my head because I don't ever remember. No, he put up a 4 WAR season in 2008. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, other than that, he's been pretty much a replacement level player. But he was really good for a year in 2008.
Right, and he moved to the Twins after Target Field opened, so obviously a bit of a cavernous park to pitch in, to hit in.
Yeah.
So I'm sure...
Never been a good defensive catcher. But yeah, he was with the Athletics, the Twins, the Braves, and now the Nationals. He split time with Tyler Flowers and on the Braves as well, so like he was a platoon guy, so I wonder if that's why.
And they wanted Flowers... Like, they wanted him to kind of help coach up Flowers and develop Flowers, right?
I wonder if that's a mistake.
Yeah. You know, as we're seeing, Kurt Suzuki still kind of got it. So
still kind of got it.
Tip our caps to him and to all those veteran players who are getting theirs in this postseason. I love to see that. That it's not just... I mean, not that I don't love watching a player like Juan Soto play.
He's so good.
Seeing the vets... You know, not just like degenerate into like old men with like bad knees and, you know, missing plays or something. Seeing them contribute is just as exciting to me as watching like just a dynamic player like a Juan Soto.
Got to be nice for you too to see Brian Dozier finally get his.
Yeah, yeah. There's a guy who, you know, put in a lot of work on the Twins and was a great player with the Twins. And mashed the ball and made his way, obviously, after he was a free agent to the Natties. And, you know, just by all accounts, a good guy.
Yep.
Fingers crossed that, you know, we don't... I always hate finding out something about a good guy or a purported good guy, but I'm always waiting for the other shoe to drop a little bit. But I am excited for this Game 3 matchup tonight. And I think they're going to win this one.
Probably.
And I guess the question is whether in the next game they close it out or if the Astros can steal one before it kind of closes off in one.
I mean, they've got three cracks at home to win two. And they're going to be pitching two of the best pitchers in baseball right now in Strasburg and Scherzer.
And the Astros will be without the DH.
Correct. So no Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah. Who has struggled a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, he's still always a threat to pop off. That guy's got such a good bat. Yeah, I don't think the Nationals win tonight, but I think they win 4, and I think they win 5.
Okay, so you think they lose this one?
I think Greinke's a pretty big piece, right? Anibal Sanchez is good, but you know he doesn't have a huge track record over the last couple years of being that good. He was really good on that 2015 Tigers team, but we haven't seen him be good in the last 2 or 3. Yeah, so I think Greinke wins one for the Astros tonight, but then I think Strasburg and Scherzer put him to bed.
In off-field news, should mention that I saw it in my inbox yesterday. Joe Girardi signs with the Phillies.
I think that's a good call for them.
And David Ross, of course, with the Cubs.
Also a good call for
them. Also not necessarily surprised based on, you know, that World Series year and his presence on that team.
Yeah. No, I think those are both good hires. I think that's a really good hire for the Phillies. Girardi has a consistent track record of outperforming his Pythagorean theorem, the Pythagorean record that the Yankees had. The Phillies do need to go out and still splash some cash and get some more pitching help specifically. I think they can trade Cesar Hernandez and get a 3 or 4, but I think that's a good hire. I think that's a really good hire for the Phillies.
One thing to keep an eye on, this was at MLB Stats who tweeted this out. So Zach Greinke, 8 extra base hits this year, leads all pitchers and has 39 for his career. Among active pitchers, only Adam Wainwright has more, and Adam Wainwright has played in the NL the entirety of his career, while Zach Greinke has been back and forth between the AL and NL.
I would have thought Mad Bum would have had more. Huh.
Yeah, so Wainwright has 49.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, but, you know, it's always... I get the argument for the DH, obviously, on the offensive side, but it is interesting to watch
If they were all Zach Greinke, I would agree, because at least it's not a massive black hole, right? Like, Greinke can still do, like, okay. But, you know, when the fact that the WRC plus for pitchers this year mm-hmm. was like 5, which means that they are 95% worse than an average hitter, means that I just don't have time for it.
No. Speaking of not having time, we have just enough time to remind you about Pledgerama. And then I guess, I mean, I'm not necessarily handing over the mic because normally we put on Democracy Now, but during Pledgerama, we, of course, preempt Democracy Now.
So who's coming on?
Amy Goodman not giving out the phone number, so we will have her back here on Monday. 204-474-6610 is the pledge line, umfm.com/donate. And technically, I'm coming on.
Okay.
I will be taking over the hour. I don't have a book guest like I did yesterday and Wednesday. My thanks, though, to Jim Blanchard yesterday and to Sheila Jones and Sheila North on Wednesday for coming in to talk about their books. Today, I'm going to be talking to Edmonton artist Saint Arnaud.
Cool.
Who is coming to town tonight to play a Bulldog Pizza at the Dog Pound, and to Eliza Gilkyson, who will be in town for opening for Richard Thompson's Winnipeg Folk Fest show next week.
Cool.
And so we'll be talking to both those artists and playing some of their music. Zook, if you're out there, call the donation line because it's too late to call the booth. 204-474-6610. We're sitting
disappointed.
At just shy of 39,000. The goal was 36.
Not
we're
disappointed
well
in that.
We're good with that. We're going to keep going, though.
Thank you all so much. It means the world to every single one of us here. We put in long hours. We work really hard, and in order to give you guys awesome content like this, and for you to show up and help us out in a time of need for us, it means so much. We can't possibly put into words how much this means.
For sure. And shout out to Connor Milligan, who I know listens to us on his lunch break, and
what's up, Millie?
Came in early this week and did a 6 a.m. shift on air. I really
absolute hero.
Appreciate that.